Please rise if you are able for the reading of the gospel this morning, which comes from Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6 and 16 through 21. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites, for they mark their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Who has season tickets to a theater? I guess the Chiefs count too. Some of you, yes. Okay, who can remember the last show that you've been to? Of course, Jake. What was it, or can you say? Nice, that sounds great. And Juliet, thanks to you guys, you know, I've gotten to go to a few. I think this church lives up to its namesake as being on Broadway, because I think I have been to the most shows and plays than any church I've ever attended. Y'all love your shows, and I'm always grateful when I get to go along. Thank you, guys. We even have a budding young actress who is unfortunately not able to be here today, Sophia Schaefer. And I had planned for Sophia to be able to share some of her experiences with community theater, but she's not feeling well, and so we'll have to hear from her another time. Sophia, please feel better very soon. If you've ever been a part of a theater or a production crew, you know that what happens off on stage is only the tip of the iceberg. Long before the curtain is lifted and the bright lights turn on, actors have spent long hours in rehearsals, musicians have practiced their parts, there's a lot of choreography, and just hours and hours and weeks and months go into a production. Stagehands and production makeup artists and tech crews are all working tirelessly in the background to make sure what happens on stage happens without a hitch. I also should say, even in the church, or no matter what industry you're at, it seems like there is so much that goes on in the background to make what happens on the stage happen. I should celebrate those who are behind the scenes in this moment now. Kyle is behind the screens, engaging with those who are online, and of course, Craig is always back there from his perch. Making sure that we're broadcasting. So much practicing goes on, and a lot of planning goes on hours in a week. And so I want to thank those of you who work really tirelessly in the background. When I'm watching a show or I'm sitting in the audience somewhere, I'm often so immersed in what's going on stage that I don't realize all that is going on behind the scenes to make it all happen. Well, today, Jesus is talking about the importance of faith that's behind the scenes. One of the commentators I read this week likened this passage to a three-point sermon. It's got an introduction, 3 points, and a conclusion. It goes down like this. In verse 1, the introduction, Jesus warns the disciples, don't practice everything in public, lest they be noticed by people and not in heaven. And then he gives three examples of things that were done religiously out in the open: giving, prayer, and fasting. And each section has a certain pattern to it. It has a rhythm to it. When you pray, give, or alms, when you give alms, pray, or fast, don't be like the hypocrites who do thus and so, because it's seen very obviously in heaven. Instead, pray, give, or fast so that others aren't aware, and your reward will be in heaven. There's little five parts in each one. Jesus' sermonette ends with a very simple conclusion: don't store up your treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves can steal. Instead, store everything in heaven, where they cannot be destroyed or taken. And there your treasure is, your heart will be also. I'm sorry, my sermons are not that short. The verses that we skipped, verses 7 through 15, are about prayer. Jesus specifically gives the example of the Lord's Prayer on how to pray. We're going to be studying this in depth in the next 7 weeks during Lent, so I'll leave it at that. But I want to focus for a moment about an oddity in this text. You see, if you were here last week, you remember that Jesus told his disciples to let their light shine, hide it under a bushel. No, shine your light and be a city on a hill. And now in the same breath, Jesus is telling us to live out our faith in secret. Well, the key to reconciling this little conflict is looking offstage. You see, Matthew is writing to an audience that is predominantly Jewish, and he's got a bone to pick. The concept of righteousness was very important to ancient Jews. They spent a lot of time in sacrifice, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Scholars believe that Matthew was doing his best to sort of discredit the Pharisees, who were a fundamentally conservative Jewish sect in with whom he had a theological conflict. Matthew believed that there was an emptiness in the faith of his ancestors, in the emptiness of his Jewish ancestors. He may have even called it performance or showing off. What's more, the word hypocrite comes from an ancient Greek word that meant stage actors, people who performed for an audience. Not to mention, there are theatrical themes in this scripture. Remember the 3 points? There were trumpets sounding, and there was being seen, so that other having an audience. There was making up one's face. These are things that stage performers do. It's an act. There's a theatrical theme going on in Jesus' 3-point sermon, I guess as well as mine. And now this is in no way to put down theater. A good actor may be completely different persona on stage than they are in real life. That's giftedness. Go theater, you know. But performative faith, faith that is different on the outside than it is on the inside, well, that's how we use the word hypocrite today. So let your light shine, as Jesus said. Shine your light, be a city on the hill, but don't let these things be the end goal. Our good works often spring forth from our faith, as the writer James would say decades later. They're the fruit of it. The lesson is that we mustn't neglect the private act of faith that drives us outward. So lest we forsake the work that happens offstage, out of the spotlight, Jesus warns against a performative faith, a faith that is more spectacle than substance. Performative religion has been around since, well, before the days of Jesus, as the Old Testament's prophets even noticed it. Isaiah wrote, for example, that sacrifices are worthless. Instead, they were to cease doing evil. They were to do good and seek justice and end oppression and plead for the widow. Micah, the Old Testament prophet, asked if anyone should come before God with their firstborn, and the answer implied was no. God has told you what is good and what he requires of you, and that is to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God. Amos argued that God didn't want our feast, but instead are working for justice until it rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Performative religion, that faith that is more show than spirit, is alive and well today. How many times have we heard the news of a famous televangelist who turned out to be a scammer or victimized people who trusted them? Some of you may have been a part of faith traditions in the past that did things or said things that did not help you walk closer with God and may have even been hurtful. That's a performative faith. And then there's performative religion that we see on a civic level. It seems like there's a wave of this in America right now, an effort to pass laws based on Christian morality and in the name of scriptures, but actually marginalize and demonize people in ways that are absolutely opposed to the witness of Christ in the scriptures. It may look like something is being done, but it's not in the spirit of Christ, and it has nothing to do with love that is the summation of the law, as Jesus said. Now, churches aren't off the hook. Churches can be performative, and this part is going to get me into trouble. I hope the DS isn't watching. Sometimes churches are more concerned with appearance than substance. We've gotten a little bit more aware of it these days. I know in a generation before, sometimes churches was the place to see and be seen. Sometimes pastors get caught up in what's next or how creative or edgy we can be. Some of us plan sermons a year in advance. That's not me, Jake. I'm sorry.
Oops. It'd make my life so much easier.
Wouldn't it now? No, I believe you should live in the moment. Churches sometimes focus on what may get the most publicity rather than making our good work the main thing. I think sometimes we think, what would this look like in the newspaper, you know, instead of really just doing the work, you know. Some people practice faith like a spiritual obstacle course, as if they're checking the boxes, you know, in order to get into heaven, rather than letting the inward reflection do the work. Jesus calls us to slow down and have some private time with God. So, in other words, act in the name of God, but don't be a spiritual actor. This Wednesday, February 18th, is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent. The season of Lent is 40 days plus 6 Sundays in which Christians, since the early days of Christianity, have practiced an inward reflection, sort of being out of the spotlight, but shining the spotlight of Christ on our hearts. Lent is historically a time when Christians have prepared ourselves for the sacrament of baptism. And it's modeled after the number 40, which is a spiritual number found multiple times in Scripture. You guys can probably think of a few examples. The focus during Lent is exactly on the things that Jesus mentioned in his 3-point sermon: service, prayer, and fasting. Lent is also an excellent time to focus on the power of saying I'm sorry. It's a time to get real, a time to live in the moment, just you and God, and let God be your audience. Now, maybe you're much better than I am when it comes to spiritual disciplines. I have the greatest and grandest of ideas that I'm going to pray every morning at my coffee, and before I go about the week, I've missed a few. So maybe you're better than I am, but I think most of us could be more diligent in spending more time with God in prayer and meditation during the week. I believe that prayer is conversation. It goes two ways. Sometimes we speak, and sometimes we listen. Sometimes we hear clearly, and sometimes, God, we misunderstand you. Sometimes we get an answer promptly, and sometimes it feels like we get left on read. Prayer can be public, but most of the time, it's private. And the thing about prayer is that while it's a private affair, prayer draws us outward. When I finally close my eyes and pray, I often think about others who I haven't thought about for quite some time. Does it happen to you? When I'm able to sit down the phone and other distractions and begin to pray, it's like the Holy Spirit opens my mind to people I need to think about. And so I try to listen to the heating of the Spirit when I'm doing that, and I'll often find someone that's way down on my chat thread that I haven't said hello to, you know, all of that. I just try to listen to the Spirit, and it happens most of the time in prayer and meditation. When we're in tune with God, our prayer and conversation with God opens our minds outward. I've often said that what prayer doesn't change without, it changes within. And I think that's really where the real change happens. I think sometimes we think that through prayer that we pray and we're petitioning God almost like a Santa Claus, hoping that God will meet all of our demands. When really I think that this act of closing in and talking to God really does more changing in here than it does anywhere else. And so really what prayer doesn't change without, it changes within. And so during this season of Lent, I think we should challenge ourselves to think more about how we can strengthen our individual walk with God for the transformation of our own hearts and others. What happens out of the spotlight, you see, off stage, for example, in our lives is just as important as our acts of justice, worship, and service that we're so good at here. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, once said, quote, "There's a prayer of the heart that only God sees, and this is the beginning of holiness." So it's prayer that is really the driving force, the engine for our service and our witness in the world. Methodists have always believed in a personal faith that isn't an end in itself, but drives us out into the world and creates a social holiness in our community and in our world. So as we live our Methodist discipline together, we're better able to live outwardly in a way that is multiplying and transformative as we do all the good we can in all the ways that we can to all the people we can as much as we ever can. So this Lent, let's get off the stage. Let's go behind the scenes. Let's let God be our audience more. And when we do, I think we'll emerge with even more clarity on the role that we can play when it's finally time to unfold our hands, sit down the Bible, and act. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your Spirit that is among us. And we thank you for the opportunity that you want to hear us and speak to us. Lord, we pray that as we live our lives this week, we can spend more time with you, that we can gain better clarity on your purpose and will for our lives, that we may serve you and your Son, Jesus, all the more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.